Let's pray. Lord, help us today to glimpse more of who you are and who you have made us to be in our relationship with you and with each other. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So, how is your Lent going? If you have given up or taken up something for Lent, how are you getting on with it? This Lent, I've chosen to give up violence. Now, I need to quickly move on to explain what I mean by that. During my trip to Rwanda, I had time to think really deeply about humanity's capacity for love and service, and our capacity for hate, violence, and destruction. On returning to the UK, I decided that for Lent, I would give up viewing anything on the TV or Netflix that had violence within it. And it turns out that that cuts out really quite a huge percentage of available viewing, which is great. What I hadn't decided or thought carefully about was what I would do about the news. And as I speak this morning, for any of us who has read or seen or heard others speaking about the news, we'll be especially aware of the ways in which relationships between people, between leaders, and between nations can fail to live up to the model of relationship which God reveals to us, which is a different type of relationship. Last week, as part of our series, we focused on freedom, what it means to be set free by God. I wonder if we could have up a slide. Brilliant. So, on the Thursday evening and Monday afternoon groups, we spoke about forgiveness. Oh, why does it say forgiveness? We spoke about being set free, which is, and we basically spoke about how that was meant forgiveness. It was about being released from shame, about the courage to forgive others, and about the deep security of knowing that we are unconditionally loved. And we heard some wonderful stories, illustrations from people's own lives who during those groups spoke about their experiences. This week, the question shifts slightly to ask, what are we set free for? Or, as our vision states, what are we set free to be? So God has set us free, but what is it that we are set free to be? So our vision speaks about becoming a more Trinity-shaped community. If I'm honest, when I first read that phrase, I hesitated. There is something about the word Trinity that makes me kind of stop. It's one of those areas that preachers fear to tread. There's a lot of jokes made about who gets to preach on Trinity Sunday, although Ruth absolutely loves it and has said that she will this year.
Every year,
which is wonderful. It's a beautiful thing to love. It does matter deeply, though, because how we understand the Trinity shapes how we relate to God and to each other. So rather than trying to solve the mystery of the Trinity, I'm really sorry, I am not going to do that today. I want us to reflect on what kind of life flows from the God who has revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And a quick warning. As Ruth said the other day, when you talk about the Holy Spirit, suddenly your hands become much bigger and you need to gesticulate. So, to begin to think about what this might mean, I actually want to ask us to take ourselves out of the equation for a moment and simply just look at God. So, God is not solitary. God is in himself, a living communion, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Within God, there is relationship. There is mutual delight. There is self-giving love. It's a shared life. One God, three persons, each fully participating in the life of the others. Some theologians have described the life within God as a dance. I think it's a really brilliant illustration. A dynamic, moving movement of love and joy. Not static, it's not distant, but it's alive and living. God is living and alive. God is life. The Father loves the Son. The Son loves the Father. The Spirit binds them in love and glorifies them both. It is a relationship marked by generosity, honour, and joy. So how can we be a Trinity-shaped community? What will we reflect in that life? What might be the signs that we can look for? First and foremost, it will be relational, because God is relational. We're not called simply to believe ideas about God, but we are called, because he is relational, into participate in God's life. And it's through Christ and by the Spirit that we're drawn into this divine fellowship. We talk about fellowship between each other, but God actually has fellowship within God's self, and we are invited and drawn into that relationship. The New Testament even speaks of our adoption, our being welcomed into this divine fellowship and adopted. So once we're in, we are in. There's no tearing up the adoption certificate. So our relational life has two main directions. So vertically, we're related to God in worship. You can think of the cross, actually. It's a really helpful shape to think of relationships. Worship is not just singing, although it is a huge part of it. It's participation in the life of God. It's our whole lives, our worship to God. It is joining the Son in his love for the Father by the Spirit. Jesus prays to the Father in the Spirit. So this is this vertical. And we're invited into that same pattern of receiving and giving and receiving love and giving praise. So horizontally, we relate to one another in fellowship. And if we're drawn into this life of a relational God, then our life together should be marked by love, joy, patience, and generosity, and so much more, because God is so much more than those things. We share one another's celebrations and carry one another's sorrows. We grow in honesty, kindness, and forgiveness, and none of this is separate from God. It flows from who God is. And to become a Trinity-shaped community, then, is to deepen real relationships with God and with one another. Relationships based on self-giving love rather than individualism or self-protection. The second key and final key attribute that I'd like to speak about is mission or missional. The key attribute is mission. God is basically intrinsically missional. The word mission comes from a Latin word, which is missio, and it means to send. And the Trinity not only is relational, but it's sending. By its very nature, it does this thing of sending. The Father sends the Son into the world to redeem the world. The Son sends the Spirit. The Spirit reveals and points to the Son and glorifies the Father. And importantly, the Spirit searches. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians that the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. Again, very relational. The Spirit is active, dynamic, drawing us into the life of God and then sending us outward. This means that mission is not something that we, the church, has invented. It begins in the very, very heart and centre of God. The movement outwards towards creation, towards humanity, towards reconciliation. It's part of who God is. And if we are shaped by that God, we too are being sent. We are sent every week. At the end of the service, we hear the words, "Go in peace to love and serve the Lord." I would like to emphasise the go. It's not a polite go, it's go. Get out of here. Go and serve God and love everyone. It is a commissioning. And so we gather together here to be renewed in the life of the Trinity, and we scatter so that we can participate in the mission of the Trinity. So being a Trinity-shaped community means that we do not turn in on ourselves. Our relationships are not closed circles. In a world where there is a constant stream of violence, hate, and conflict, we are sent out from here into the world to be a people of relationship and reconciliation. The love and joy we share are meant to overflow into our homes, into our workplaces, into our neighbourhoods. We are sent to embody forgiveness, reconciliation, and hope in just the everyday, in the normal, whatever that might look when you go home or when you're doing things tomorrow. So if we are becoming a Trinity-shaped community, that suggests that we're already in the process of it. This is not about starting a new thing. We're not starting from scratch. I want to really emphasise that, and Ruth has emphasised that as well when she's spoken about this. God has already drawn us into his life. We're already reflecting something of his relational and missional nature. So the question is, how might we grow more fully into that shape? Where do we see us reflecting the relational love of God well? Where do you see us stepping into this mission courageously? And where might the Spirit be stretching us further? To become Trinity-shaped is not to master a doctrine. It is to mirror a life, the life of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a life of joyful relationship and outward moving love. And that is what I believe we have been set free for. Amen.